I'm going to be speaking to you today from the book of 1 John. I would like very, very much for you to find the Bible and follow me as I read about three verses of Scripture. I'm going to speak on this subject, sons of God, sons of God. 1 John chapter 3, and it says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. And he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as God is pure." Now, let's look at these three verses almost word for word, just for a little while together. Now, the first word in our text is the word behold. Behold, what manner of love. Behold, look. Look, be aware. Here is an announcement of the greatest importance. Behold. God says, behold. Many, 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 many years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote this prophecy. He said, behold, God Himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. What an announcement. Be aware, look, behold, with amazement, what's going to happen? The Son of God is going to become the Son of Man. And one day out there, one evening, out on the Judean hillsides, a group of shepherds were tending to their sheep. And suddenly, there was with them the angels of the Lord and a multitude of heavenly hosts. And they said, behold, behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who's none other than Christ the God, the Lord. Behold, a baby is in a manger. You'll find the baby lying in a manger. Behold, John the Baptist came preaching. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He came as the forerunner, the ambassador of the Messiah, the Elijah that God had promised, which God promised would come before that great day of the Lord. And he preached to multitudes. Even kings went out to hear him. Herod admired John, went out to hear him. He was a powerful preacher of the grace of God. And standing one day with two of his disciples, he looked up and he said, behold, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said to these two men with him, look, be aware. Here's an amazing announcement. There, right there, is Abel's lamb. Here's the Passover lamb of Egypt. Here's the rock Moses smote. Here's the serpent lifted up. Behold, the Lamb of God. Well, my friend, one day, time will be no more. The covenant of grace will be complete. The sheep will be gathered into one fold, one shepherd. The church will be called out, and the clouds are going to roll back, and the trump of God is going to sound, and the voice from heaven will say, listen, behold, behold, be aware. Look, an announcement of the greatest importance. Behold, He cometh. He cometh, and every eye shall see What a day. There have been some great announcements preceded with this word, behold, behold. And here's another one here in my text. The reason I'm saying all that is to say this. Behold, look, be aware. What an amazing discovery. What an amazing announcement. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God? Sons of God? I tell you, when the Son of God became a man, when the Son of God became the Son of Man, it merits a behold. A behold, a double behold, an amazing behold, a startling discovery, amazing announcement, when the Son of God becomes the Son of Man. But I tell you this, when the Son of Adam, when a Son of Adam like you and me, when a Son of Adam becomes a Son of God, it merits a behold. Behold, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child by the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, God with us, God in human flesh. And that same word is used here. Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon this flesh that we should be called the sons of God. Son of man is a son of God. It takes just a greater miracle for you to become a son of God as it did for the Son of God to become the Son of Man. Hymn writer said it took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to put the moon in place. But when God saved my soul and made me whole, it took a miracle of love, and His grace. Old John Newton, I don't know how many of you are familiar with John Newton. He preached a couple of hundred years ago over in England. John Newton wrote some great hymns, preached some great messages. One of the hymns which he wrote is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see it. Most all of you are familiar with that hymn. John Newton wrote that. But John Newton said one time, by God's grace, when I stand in heaven, three things will amaze me. Three things will amaze me. Number one, I'll be amazed to see some people there I didn't expect to see. And secondly, I'll be amazed to miss some people I thought would be there. But thirdly, the most amazing, marvelous thing of all, will be to find John Newton, the old slave trader, the old rebel, in the presence of God. What a miracle. What a miracle. Behold, listen, what manner of love. Not many people know much about this kind of love. Behold, what manner of love is it that the Father hath bestowed upon us? Do you know what manner of love it is? I tell you, people talk so flippantly and carelessly about the love of God. The songwriter said, oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless. How measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain that ocean dry. Now could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky? What manner of love? You know what manner of love it is? I'll tell you, first of all, it's divine love. It's not human love. It's not this flippant, careless, soon gone human love. It's divine love. Herein is love. Not that we love God. He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is divine love. Divine love. Not only divine love, but it's everlasting love. what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon these wiggling maggots that we should be called sons of God. What manner of love? It's everlasting love. He said, I've drawn you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. If God loves you today, He's always loved you. I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The gifts and calling of God are without change. It's an everlasting love. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. We're the ones who change, not God. Because it's an unchanging love. It's a divine love. It's an everlasting love. It's an unchanging love. What manner of love? And it's a love which is freely bestowed. He didn't sell it to us. He didn't trade it to us. It's unmerited love. It's unearned love. It's undeserved love. You see what I'm saying? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath literally bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Sons of God? Somebody said, well, everybody's a son of God. That's not true. That's not true. All men and women are not sons and daughters of God. No, Christ said they weren't. John chapter 8. You ever read that exchange between Christ and the religious Pharisees? He talked about my Father and I are one. My Father sent me. They said, God is our Father. We have one Father, even God. And the Lord Jesus replied, if God were your Father, you would love me. I came from God. The fact that you don't love me indicates that you are not God's children. He said, you're of your father the devil, and his works you do. He was a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of liars. God's not your father. All men are not sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. John's writing to believers. The general epistle of John to the believers. And he says, God hath bestowed this love upon us that we should be called the sons of God. How are we sons of God? Well, you men and women listening to me, do you have a son? Do you have a son? How is he your son? Well, he was born to us. Exactly. Exactly. That son sitting there with you with the television is your son. I'm not your son. That son was born to you. And that's what the Scripture says about us. To as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Not of natural genealogy, not of blood, not of human genealogy, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but they were born of God. That's the reason Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Word. Born of God. How are we sons of God? We're born sons of God. The new birth. The second birth. Born again. We're sons of God by adoption. God hath adopted us. It says He has predestinated us to the adoption of children. By Jesus Christ to Himself. Any of you out there have any adopted children? You say, yes, preacher, I've got one right here with me. You chose that child. You adopted that child. You gave that child your name. That's your child. And that child is just as much yours as that born son sitting beside you. And he's a part of the family and he's an heir of yours. We're sons of God by birth. We're sons of God by adoption. We're sons of God by His life, His Spirit that's in us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If any man hath not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. He's not a son of God. If he doesn't have the Spirit of God, he's not a son of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God Only they are sons of God. That's Romans 8:14. How are we sons of God? By birth. By adoption. By His Spirit that lives within. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's not his. And then we're sons of God by faith. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's how he believes. That's why he believes. That's how he has the ability to believe. He's born of God. God gave him eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand and faith to believe. Now read carefully. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us of all people that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, you see it there? The world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. The world doesn't know us because the world didn't know Him. The world knew Him not. When our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, the Scripture says He was in the world, He made the world, and the world didn't know Him. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. They knew Him as Mary's son. They said, well, we know Him. He's Mary's son. They didn't know Him as God's son. Well, we know Him, the carpenter. They didn't know Him as the Messiah. We know Him. He's the Nazarene. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Wait a minute. He came from heaven. He said, I am from above. You're from beneath. He didn't come from Nazareth. He came from the bosom of the Father. They called Him a wine bibber and a gluttonous man. They didn't know Him. Oh, they acknowledged the miracles that He did and the good words that He said. And they're fine for Him to heal their sick and do all these things. But He couldn't be God. They didn't know Him. And also the world doesn't know you. If you're a son of God or a daughter of God, born of God, the world knows you. Yeah, your family and friends and co-workers and neighbors, they know you as old Bill or Bob or John. They know you as Sally or Sadie or whomever. They know you as brother or sister or daughter or mother or somebody. But they don't know you as a child of God. They don't see the grace of God in you and the glory of God in you because it takes a son of God to know a son of God. It takes a son of God, a daughter of God, to know another child of God. And the world can look right at you, and not know you. They didn't know Him. Scripture said, if they had known who He was, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of men the things God's prepared for them that love Him. Oh, what love that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us. Don't expect them to, because they didn't know Him. And then it says in verse 2 there, beloved, see, this is written to believers. Here's your comfort. Now are you a son of God. Not gonna be. You are right now. There is therefore now no condemnation. Right now, no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have right now peace with God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See that? Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Everybody likes to speculate about heaven, don't they? And what heaven's going to be like, and what sort of body we're going to have, and what language we'll speak, and how we'll live, and so forth. We'll have to leave that to God's revelation. Paul, the apostle, went to the third heaven, and this was his reply when he came back. This was his observation. He said, I heard things. It's impossible to utter. I have no way of expressing to you what I heard in that kingdom, in the presence of God. So we'll just have to wait. I tell you one thing, we can look at our Lord's appearance to His disciples after He arose from the grave. In Luke 24, And we can tell a great deal about what we shall be, because it says when He shall appear, we're going to be like Him. We're going to be like Him. We're going to be like Him in body. For He shall raise our vile bodies and make them like unto His glorified body. That's Philippians 3:21. We'll be like Him. It says we'll be like Him in soul. He hath predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. The very image. Christ is the image of the Father, the exact likeness. We're going to be conformed to the image of Christ in soul and body and mind. Now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face, we'll know as we have been known. I struggle so much wanting to know, don't you? To read the Word and to know. Oh, that I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection. I may know His gospel. Someday, I'm going to know like I have been known. What a revelation that'll be. For He said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when He shall appear, we're going to be like Him, because we're going to see Him as He is. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Our minds keep trying to see Christ as He was. This says we're going to see Him as He is. They keep putting these nativity scenes up with these babies and Madonnas and shepherds and all. That's not like He is. That's like He was. He's a babe no more. That's gone. They keep drawing pictures of Christ out there sitting, holding a little sheep, or walking around with a halo, or talking with the disciples. That's not how He is. He was in the flesh, a man on this earth. That is no more. They keep picturing Him on the cross. You can't go into a Catholic hospital without seeing a crucifix. That's not my Lord. He's not on a cross. The hymn writer said, the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. Why don't you do away with all those things? No more the bloody spear, the cross, the nails, no more. For hell itself shakes at His name, and all the heavens adore. We're going to see Him as He is. Do you hear me? Not as He was. He's enthroned. He's not on a cross. He's exalted. He's not in a tomb. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's the Lord. Quit feeling sorry for the Son of God and feel sorry for yourselves. When He's carrying that cross, going to Calvary, the women followed, lamenting and weeping. And He stopped. And He turned and said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. You don't weep over the remedy, you weep over the disease. You don't weep over the dying Savior, you weep over the cause of His coming down here and suffering. Us and our sins. We're just so warped in this day. We're so twisted, we're so ceremonial, we're so idolatrous. We're worshiping a bunch. Every church has got a bunch of crosses around and pictures. And He is not that way. We're going to see Him as He is. And the more you try to remind people of what He was by pictures and crosses and crucifixes and all of this sort of thing, the more you're going to hinder their true worship of the living God and their true understanding of the exalted Savior. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. You've got to see Him as He is. And I'll tell you, verse 3 says, every man that hath this hope in him, what hope? What hope? Somebody said, well, the blessed hope, His return. I'm telling you, the blessed hope is what's going to happen to us when He does return. We're going to be like Him. That's my hope, that I'll be like Him. And he that hath this hope, that he's going to be like Christ, he purifies himself. Even as God is pure. There's a change. I read a poem one time. It goes like this. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his time to worth his while to waste much time on this old violin, but he held it up with a smile and he said, "Good folk, who'll start the bidding for me? Who'll bid for this old violin? $1, $2, somebody make it $3. Going once, going twice." But no. From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward, picked up the bow, tightening the loosened strings. He played a melody as pure and sweet as an angel sings. And then the auctioneer, in a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000? $2,000? Somebody make it $3,000. Going for $3,000. Going once, going twice, going and gone, cried he. And the people cheered, and some of them cried, "We don't understand. What changed the worth of that old violin?" And he said, "The touch of the Master's hand. The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned off by a foolish crowd, just like that old violin. And the Master comes. And the foolish crowd never can quite understand the change that's wrought in a sinner's heart and life. An attitude, a spirit, a touch of the Master's hand. He that hath this hope, I'm going to see him. He's going to come back, and I'm going to see him as he is, and I'm going to be like him. And he that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as God is pure. Sons of God,